Okay, everybody, we're going to call this meeting to order at 8 o'clock. Thank you, Mayor.
Are we without a mayor today?
Temporarily. I think she's on her way or something, right? Yeah. Let's call the roll.
Ms. Tidwell.
Here.
Mr. Marney.
I'm here.
Ms. Therian is absent and excused. Mr. Ringstad.
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle.
I'm here.
Mr. Cleworth.
Here.
Mayor O'Neill's coming shortly.
All right. The first item is ordinance number 6346, authorizing the lease of a log cabin located at 550 First Avenue. Mike, you want to do that?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yeah, Mayor O'Neill will be here in just a moment. She's run late from her previous event. But she had asked me to go over, like, how we come to the leases, just because, as Ms. Sprinkle had pointed out, there are different ways of getting to a lease. If we could think about, like, remember when the Denali Commission needed to lease some space in here, and there was a quick turnaround? They had 1 month to get in, and which is about as quick as we can do a lease anyways. So we didn't do, with that one, we didn't do any sort of RFP, no RFIs, no nothing. They came to us. We brought it immediately to the council. Council approved it. We got that lease going. So that's one way of doing it, where there's no public anything other than what happens in this room. Another option is like with the like what we did with the cabin, where you have an RFI. The RFI in this particular case generated, I think it was two. It generated two proposals. Those proposals, just to be frank, I am certain they wouldn't have passed the council. They didn't have a lot of public activation in them. But we did that. But then after the RFI closed, we had three different entities come to us and propose different ideas. We had the co-op market. They came and they proposed doing a little like a deli and a grocery store type, convenience store right there. And then we had Mr. Huff and Mrs. Huff, come and talk about the thing that they proposed to you guys last week. And then after that, I got a call from Mr. Mincik, he said, if I'm trying to remember exactly what he said, he's like, I don't want to do this, but if nobody else will put something in there, then I'll do something. But I told him at the time, I was like, well, we've got these other ones, so you're off the hook. So with that, we brought it to you. We've had essentially five different proposals. This is the one that seemed to be the most viable of the ones that we had. So we're bringing it to you. If it's not something, if you guys don't like it, or if this isn't what you want, this is the time where you guys can be like, nah, this isn't what we're looking for. Try again. And if that's the case, then we'll put it out to RFP, and we'll see what we can see what we can get. See if we can get something better. But that's kind of how this system works. I mean, you guys are the ultimate authority on what gets leased and for how much and all that other stuff. But it's our job to bring you the options, and sometimes it's a long drawn out process with the Children's Museum for running this. We did three RFPs before we got something, so sometimes it's multi-year long process. Sometimes it's just days, with like the Denali Commission. So that's how we got to this with this particular one. Personally, I think it's a fine proposal. The Huffs have they've been successful in many other projects. With them, one of the things that is good for us is they want to get it going quickly, to the point where they're willing to help Yukon Quest get out of there and do all sorts of stuff, because they want to get it activated this summer, because they realize that the summertime is, the prime opportunity for really for making the project pencil out. So, from my perspective, I think it's fine, but it's ultimately your decision. So,
Sue?
Thanks. Thanks, Mike. Can you tell us who the other two were for the who answered the RFI?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to do that?
Yeah. One was Festival Fairbanks, and one was, it was another dog thing, but they didn't really have a, it was another nonprofit for dog mushing, but they didn't really have a public facing. They were saying that maybe next year they would do like snacks, but
okay.
It didn't really have a strong public facing thing, so it didn't activate the space.
Kind of. So if we were to ask Jonathan and Amanda to do a proper, I guess the process is what I get hung up on. If for any reason we needed them to do some sort of paperwork that showed their hopes and dreams on paper, like business plans or anything, is that something that happens, or do you guys just have a conversation with these people and say, oh, that sounds like a good idea? Is there anything on paper that you guys look at first?
Usually, yeah, if there's more of this one's been a bit of a time crunch, just trying to get it out there so that the that space is activated. We could definitely put that into the requirement of the lease. I mean, we could, there's definitely options that we could put there, or again, we could send it out to RFP.
Yeah, I'm not trying to just slow things down. I'm just trying to get a sense of the fairness of it. In as far as across the board, I've gotten phone calls, emails, and concerns about why not. I'm not trying to slow down. I think a great idea. But I don't know how we can be careful for future thoughts on this. But I've got one last question, Jerry. Mm-hmm. Okay. If and when they make repairs or corrections or betterment of this log cabin, do they run it past us first?
Not at all.
No?
If it's a major, thanks. If it's a major, some structural thing, then possibly if it would change the character of the asset. But if it's like they want to renovate the inside or something, that would not come before you.
Like that beautiful fireplace. If someone took that out, I think that'd be a real. It'd be a crime, to be honest, but I don't know where we begin and end as landlords, and that's a thought process I have. In addition to the thought of a deck outside, I think that's fantastic. Is that something, again, they do on their own?
If those are requirements, we could put those into the lease. I will say from the conversation, and again, all this happened incredibly fast. From the conversations that we had on site, like their plant, that fireplace hasn't been used in at least the 20 years that Yukon Quest has been there, and they don't think it was used before then. But the Huff's plan was to refurbish it, and they want it to be on natural gas so that it can actually
okay.
be used.
Good.
But yeah, their plan at the time, without having the ability to really get into it, is to renovate that.
Okay. I think it is a special little building. I would hate to see, and I don't think John's like that. I just didn't know where we, as a body or a city, are allowed to say yes or no to something. Thank you.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, just Councilmember Sprinkle, to your point. So in any kind of landlord-tenant lease arrangement, there's a concept called waste, where the tenant is not supposed to do something that would basically destroy the character or the value of the structure. In your lease agreement, you do have a provision that says that their tenancy of it can't do something that'll destroy the value. If you wanted to be more specific, as Mike mentioned, we could certainly add that into the lease agreement.
Lonnie?
What kind of worries me, though, is serving alcohol in that area. You know, we do have a lot of vagrants in there, and I don't know, can you refuse service to somebody? I worry about that, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, they would be held to the same standards that they have for, you know, for their liquor license anywhere, for any of the liquor licenses that are downtown. You know, if somebody comes into the Mecca or the Tap House or Humble Roots and they're intoxicated, that owner already has a responsibility through their license.
Well, you know what I'm trying to.
Yeah, I know what you're getting at. I mean, that's something that you could have us put in as a restriction, but I don't know that I would.
Well, I think maybe in the long term, baby steps on the liquor thing. But did we do a market survey on that? Is that $2,500 a month? Is that a good fair rent?
Yeah. So the going rate is what I was told is $1 to $2 a square foot. That's 1,900 square feet. I was going to go for, based on the general condition of the building, I figured, one and a third is what I was going for, which would have been $2,500 and $2,508. So I just rounded it to $2,500 just to,
Okay. Thank you.
John?
I got a couple of questions and or comments. When this was announced that this was out there, I think in the first 2 days, I had two separate people contact me and say, I didn't even know this was available. I would have put in a proposal. Where do we put out these RFIs or whatever? How do we notice people so they can see it when it goes out?
They're advertised in the News Miner. They're put in, usually there's like social media posts and there's, we'll send them to individual people that we know are interested. That I don't think we did with this one, but
I didn't realize it was this far along and ready to go. Apparently a lot of people didn't see it. So, yeah. I mean, I think we need to think about how we notice something like this as a business deal. Maybe we ought to announce them at chamber meetings or something and get some more exposure. Yeah.
The mayor did announce it at a chamber meeting. That's how we ended up with the Huffs.
So I guess I have a concern with this. Well, let me back up. We talked before you left about the inspection of this thing. You had said that several months ago, getting somebody in there and looking at it. Now, structurally, I mean, the engineers went through it and are comfortable with it. We don't need to do significant repairs on the building.
Yeah, from the first look that our facilities manager Alex went through, I'm not sure if he took his entire team in there, but I know Alex went through and he didn't think there was anything super significant because we've been doing repairs to this thing. It's not like we've just haven't been in it for 20 years. We do repairs on it fairly regularly. There's some like smashed up tiles downstairs in the basement that we need to take care of. There's some there's some stuff that we'd like to get done before we hand it over, but
So then in this, we're effectively allocating them $30,000 first, and I don't quite get for what.
So
is that for their what they need in the building? Is that those not aren't the repairs the little stuff you're talking?
Yeah,
about?
The little stuff we're taking care of, but. Some of the renovations that they were, and that's something, if you guys don't like that, we'll just take that out. But that's something that I threw in there as like some of the renovations that they're talking about doing, putting in a new sink and stuff upstairs, setting it up so food can be served. Like some of that's going to be pretty pricey and it's going to add value to our building. I basically just took out of the length of the contract saying that we could waive up to essentially it's 1 year's rent based on the amount of renovations that they do. But the way I worded it was trying to make it so that it has to be something that we agree is a benefit to our building. So
our option.
Right. And it's kind of like the how we staggered rent for the Boys and Girls Club, the Children's Museum, knowing that they're going to be doing a bunch of renovation to our building.
So, I mean, I looked at that and thought, okay, this is a four-year deal. That's a 25% reduction in our rent that we're talking about here, which is substantial. then I got to thinking and thinking, why do we have a 4-year contract? I mean, did we offer them an option to renew? In 4 years, if you're going to go in and make capital improvements and set up a business, and I'm not sure why 4 years seemed like a short period of time to be looking at it.
We could make it longer.
Do they have an interest in longer? Do they?
They haven't scoffed one way or the other about the 4 years. That was kind of arbitrary. I know that you guys weren't interested in long-term leases before, or weren't as interested in long-term leases, so that's why I was trying to keep it fairly short. I think that's what we were doing with the Yukon Quest was I think we're doing 4 or 5 years with them at a time.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was year to year. Yeah, if somebody's going to go in and make capital improvements, set up a kitchen and do those kind of things and lay out the money, I would have thought that they would have wanted more than 4 years, or at least the option to first option to renew and get another 4. That one just kind of struck me as maybe something we ought to think about before we get there. In terms of the land, not the building, the land, what land do they get with this lease?
So it's essentially...
I haven't looked at the map to see if there's separate lots down there.
It is separated out. So essentially from the Portland Loo over to the bridge is what they would get.
So all and then, that brush, it's, we were
right,
talking
right.
about getting out of there and cleaning
right.
that out.
Yeah, we had talked
part of theirs.
We had talked last year about removing the cherry trees. I don't know if that's still in the works or not. But
that all that would go with this, and that's what they're talking about being the outside piece.
Yes.
I think, did you have a question? Crystal?
I guess I would just say that I can appreciate that they're excited to get something in there for summer. I'm excited about all the things that are potentially happening downtown for the summer. But if there's other people interested and council members have heard that there's other interest in the community for lack of people realizing that space was available, I don't think that rushing into something is necessary. I think that the long-term goal for what we want down there is what's important. And if there's more people out there that are successful business owners that have interest in that, you know, it's a shame to not see what those proposals are.
Sue?
Mike, are there workable bathrooms upstairs for people who are going to be in a coffee shop and whatnot? Is that up to code on something like that?
I mean, I'm not the building official, but I mean, there's restrooms in there that are being used right now, so I'd assume
okay.
that it's.
And to your point about the shrubbery and the trees and whatnot, is that something that we've discussed that they would take on, or is that something for us to discuss?
I mean,
like mowing the lawn and taking care of the general outside.
We have been taking care of the outside for the most. I mean, like Festival Fairbanks and the Yukon Quest do like trash pickup and stuff like that. But when it comes to like removing trees,
okay.
and like I would.
Wasn't
I mean,
there some grass cutting? Who did that? Us?
Well, we've been
no,
doing grass
nothing. Okay. All right. Well, it's just a discussion because the outside is as important as the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that's me for the minute. Thanks.
Anyone else? Mike, just a couple questions. Festival Fairbanks, what are they wanting to do with the building?
A gift shop and potentially a coffee shop.
Okay. And do you think that the Foodland Marketplace or something was serious about that? The convenience store?
Oh, yeah, they're definitely. They've sent me a bunch of different things about it. Like they're definitely interested.
All right.
I mean, what it really came down to was the amount of draw that it would have. Like, if it's like a new, cafe type thing going down there, there's chances that you'd get a lot of locals going down there. If it's somebody that's driving past, three or four other grocery stores, they're not likely going to go just to. I thought a cafe would activate it more than a grocery store.
A marketplace. Okay. Any other questions?
Can I just ask one? So are we wanting to go RFP, or are we wanting to stay with this?
Am I wrong? Where do you guys stand on this?
I kind of feel like I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't. I mean,
I
kind of would like an RFP, but I feel like we're so far down the road already with a lease already to be signed. You know, and that's where I would hope we'd have more of the dialogue on this before we get to this point. But I'm not sure what I want to do with it, you know. I think we think about it until our...
Lonnie?
Well, my feelings are we have a great individual that everything they do is class A, you know, and I hate to run them off. That's my fear.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, I did get a surge of people wondering, didn't know, and is it too late, or, you know, I did get a surge of that conversation or questions, but we do have a class act that wants to go in there.
I'm so torn.
What do you think, Crystal?
I agree. I mean, I think they seem to be amazing. I can't imagine that asking them to go through an official process would run them off. I would assume that they would still be interested and not offended to take part in a formal process. I guess I would lean in favor of giving that process a chance.
How long would it take us to do that? I mean, they're...
You're asking the wrong person. Ask that lady back there.
They're looking at doing this right into, you know, getting going for summer. We spend 2 months screwing around, and then they've lost half their summer.
Okay, so our formal process in our code is 21 days that needs to be posted. And the RFI was posted on our website. It was put in the newspaper. The mayor did talk about it at Chambers. So it was out there. You know, we didn't flood Fairbanks with that, but we did put it out there. I think we got more questions than responses. Like, people were, like, asking questions and going straight to the mayor and Mike and whatnot, but they didn't want to go through the formal process. But as if we want to do this, this is going to put it out at least a month because, you know, I usually advertise on the week. So, you know, I would need the rest of the week to put something together. It would advertise this weekend. Then we have to keep it open for 21 days. Then you have to have the evaluation process. And then it would have to go through you guys again. So, yeah.
Sue?
So, Chris, sorry, if... First of all, they're not going to go in June anyway. So if they had that time, they're still doing paperwork. I mean, maybe it's still not going to be problematic to them.
I'm not sure what their construction timeline is, if they have somebody already or anything. Like,
but
I don't
they weren't
going
to build in May, right? They weren't going to be able to, right?
No.
Okay, so May is the kind of open-end time. They could do paperwork, satisfy our request for some information and still move in.
Yeah, I'm sure we can require as part of the lease some kind of submission of their business plan or something.
We definitely could do that. The thing that I would say though is this is really it'll be a 3 month process. 1 month for RFP, and then 1 month of going through the ordinance, getting the lease, and then by code you have to wait another 30 days to sign the lease. So you're looking at 3 months rather than...
Okay, I still have another question. Thank you, Mike. If we do an RFI, is it automatic? It doesn't seem automatic that then it's an RFP. And I guess I find that...
We did the RFI is because we were seeking information to see what the interest was. We were very clear within the RFI that this is not any guarantee that we would pick anybody that submitted and whatnot. And that might be why people didn't... It kind of circumvented my process to go straight to administration and the council.
So does that seem problematic to you?
No, not necessarily.
It just seems weird that suddenly we have we're like the rock in the stream. Everybody went around to it, but now we don't know what to do with the final result. It seems to me that there's some sort of A plus B equals C, and we have B, there was an A, and now we're trying to look at C. I'm confused by how we as a city decide to do things. And it seems very random.
I mean, it's time dependent, honestly. I mean, remember the first one that I brought up, the Denali Commission? It had to be done in a month, you know, so we, you know, went through, we, you know, basically did it, you know, got them in. Well, it was technically 2 months because I had to wait to sign, but I mean, we didn't have the time for the formal process. This one, you have the time if you're willing to give up the summer. Yeah. I don't know that the...
It's a bummer. It's,
yeah, you have to weigh it, you know, and we gave you an option, you know, and a very, as Mr. Marty pointed out, very awesome option, but...
No one's denying that. Right. I think that is not to be denied.
Yeah, so this isn't like taken away from the city. It's not taken away from the city council. And it's not a weird process. It's one of three ways that you can get this out. And you guys have the authority each time. So
it just seems that this one has caused a little consternation for the strangest reason, I guess.
With every time that we put out anything, there's always like, oh, I didn't hear about this. Like storefront improvement program, that's been going on for 2 years and it's all over the media, like the newspaper picks it up. KTVF did a story on it. It's Facebook. It talked about the downtown association. Talked about it everywhere. And I still get people like, oh, I didn't hear about it. It's like, well, I don't know what to do. You know,
Okay, so we're not going to, if we don't do an RFP, is there any way that we can ask them to show us a business plan? Is that a fair request? Because it's essential that be a successful venture. You know, we saw what happened for 4 or 5 years, 20. How long was the quest there?
20 years.
And it's just,
years.
You know, it's just really, we need something better, and we need to make sure it will work. But I don't know if that's a request we can make.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Okay, so is that something we would see before Monday? I mean, how do we do that? Because we're going to vote on a lease on Monday, right?
Right.
Okay, I'm just throwing that out as a timeline. I don't know what we do with ourselves.
Yeah.
I'm not in control.
On Monday, before we get too far into this, so we know more of what we're talking about, we can put that on.
What they have planned? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you want to see some sort of a business plan of what it is. And from what we know, it's an idea, you know? But, I mean, I don't know if we're going to have another meeting between now and Monday, but we could do it.
Was Tom going to throw something
out? Just spend 10 minutes or something on it, at least so we have see something.
Yeah, Tom?
Yeah, just a comment. So the council can include requirements in the lease agreement. And say, you know, contingent on seeing the business plan or something, we'll vote on this. Another thing I would maybe caution is I think if a potential entrepreneur is coming forward and we're asking them to see their business plan and, you know, asking them a bunch of questions, they're putting all that out in public. You know, we can do some things that we can perhaps keep things proprietary and not make it public. But I would just be sensitive to that, because then if we ultimately don't choose that option and somebody else comes in with a similar business plan, we choose that might get a little sticky.
I don't want to belabor this, but my problem with RFIs are, as a business person, I would never respond to that. And we've talked about this with the Polaris site. I would wait for a formal RFP, because then I would give my plan and my shot and be ranked against the competitors on that. But I would not tip my hand as to what I'm going to do or not. So I just think in the future, if we do something like this, this can possibly go out to an RFP and then act upon that. Mike, you're right. The information was out there. You can't guarantee everybody's going to hear it, and I get that. I would just say in the future, and I'd appreciate your comments on it too, that if we do something like this, we go to an RFP process, which is a formal process, and then they weigh in who is responsible or not, and then if there's more than one, it comes our way, I guess, at that point. But what are your thoughts on that?
I do like a formal process because, I like everything goes in a certain manner. RFIs are pretty new to me. The mayor is the one that directed me to do an RFI for both those cases. So, that was a new process. But I, did a bunch of research on how best to do it, and that's how I ended up formulating it.
So, personally, I'm kind of torn on this. I think we should have used that process, but if we do it, Mike's right, we kill a summer. And so you want a direction? I'm torn.
I didn't hear what the direction was, though. Sorry.
Okay. We're just wrapping up discussion on Ordinance 6346 and have gotten no farther than that. Oh, is there anything else on that, Sue?
I'm with you. I don't want to lose a summer on this. I just don't. I think it's too important, and I think that we really need a breath of something vigorous downtown that, in that area, that keeps things alive. Because otherwise, that would be a terrible shakedown of the Golden Heart Plaza. So, I don't want to throw a baby out with the bathwater. I guess is where I'm headed. I know. So without going RFP, I think if there was some agreement to seeing how, you're saying not to do a business plan, but something that, it says here year-round cafe, open 7 days a week. That's got to be, that's the meat that I'm looking for. But, okay, I'll live with it.
Yes, that's it.
Okay, we'll move to item number 3, an ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code, Chapter 46, Article 4, Division 4, illegal campsites. Has not been introduced yet. Legal counsel has a little handout for us to follow. When we were going over this, we noticed there's a lot of 24s to 72s to 24s, a lot of numbers that go back and forth. So just to kind of clarify what we're doing here. Mostly, this is an appeals process. This adds a little bit of we start to shorten the amount of time to give notice and clarify when we will keep folks' personal belongings if they are being evicted from an illegal campsite. So, with that, I'll hand it to Mr. Sanders.
Thank you, Mayor. So. This ordinance is one that actually originally came on when I was the housing guy. So even back then, I thought that we were being a little too lenient on some of this. We have a 70 currently we have a 72 hour abatement process and a 10 day abatement process. The 3 day one is supposed to be for emergencies, which is way too long when you have somebody like living on like a median or something like that where it's dangerous. Like we can't have that. What we've done in this is try to tighten this up to what is more realistic. One of the things that I had previously fought hard about was them wanting us to keep everything from an encampment for 30 days, which is fine if you have like a tent and, a handful of things. But when you have 88 tons of stuff that you're hauling to the dump, it's not realistic for it. And we haven't been keeping that for 30 days. So basically what this is doing is it's just bringing the code more in line with the actual practice of what we do.
Any questions? Mr. Barney.
Well, I don't have a question, but I don't see anything as far as a penalty, a ticket, or So is that in our conversation? Have we given issued tickets?
Yeah. Mr. Tarr, do you want to? Is that part of like the code that's already established?
No. There's no penalty. I mean, there's a. I assume we could do some kind of littering thing, and of course, that's an offense. We could penalize that. These are tough situations, and frankly, the individuals that we're moving along are losing all of their possessions, you know, to whatever extent that is, and we're just moving them along. We haven't had a penalty in the past. We could.
Mr. Ringstead?
Just a question. Jeremiah, is it your guys to clean these up? I mean, if we just, you know, we're going to confiscate, we're going to do whatever here and take it out. I'm assuming that's your team that's got to go to, as I keep
saying,
the pile
up. Yeah, we do a lot of the bigger ones.
Who does the little ones?
We also do use other volunteers in some spots, and then we also use the rescue missions work program that they got.
Right.
They did one. They did 17th last year for us, and then we helped finish it up.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Yeah.
it says here in a couple of these places that notice of illegal camp abatement, a notice placed on the entrance of each tent, a notice stating all personal property. So the notices are given to those folks. Who's doing the noticing? Is it the police? Is it you guys? Who's doing that work?
Mr. Sanders.
So we've the police definitely have the authority to do that. But we've also, in the past, Chief Dupuy had, when we had Bryn working with us, Chief Dupuy had delegated it to Bryn to do that as well, so that when she was coming in to do the services, she would let them know, like, hey, this is also getting ready to go away. The HART team, the new outreach team, we're trying to keep them separate from the abatement, so that that doesn't like they'll be there and they'll be providing services, but they're not going to be the ones posting. So it'll probably be, you know, either, you know, Jared or the police or even, you know, potentially somebody from Public Works.
Mr. Marnie.
So what do we spend on this a year?
We budget $25,000 a year for it.
And we spend every dime?
The last year we spent more than that cleaning up. Yeah.
Is the $25,000 just for illegal encampments, or is that for the entire abatement budget?
No, that's just for the encampment. So it's all in the same, it's in the same account. But when we originally added the $25,000, it was specifically for encampment cleanup.
Right, thanks. Mr. Ringstead.
You know, I hate to be critical, but, you know, you can put up signs. Right now, I think I have 8 in my driveway. I'm not sure any of these people read them. But, you know, okay, you got to move. Then they just go to the next one. And I think there's a lot. I mean, you can post under every bridge in town, right? Every little corner you can post these signs. Is it effective? Does it do any good? Other than it covers us legally because we said you couldn't be there. I mean, I think we legally have to do it, but I don't think it gains us much.
Mr. Ringstead, Anchorage has experienced the same sort of thing where people are just moving like 10 feet over. And so Mr. Chard has some information about how we could amend this to address that.
So as Mayor's pointing out, I spoke with Anchorage and their approach. They're doing this thing called zone posting. Or posting a zone. So basically, like if you think about folks maybe setting up an illegal campsite, you know, under the bridge, right? And you would go and you would post their tents and say you can't be here. Okay, well maybe they're gonna, you know, move across the river to the woods on the other side. So what Anchorage has done is they've posted a zone, and so they've said like you can't illegally camp in this area, and there's zones, there's, we could use their language if you want, but their zones have to be compact and contiguous. I don't know if folks are following the news that came from some other area of law, but if they're here, they wouldn't as easily be able to move right here. You can't post like the whole city is a zone, but you can post around like schools, or if you think they're going to move a certain way, you can do that.
Can't you post the city as a zone if we have a citywide for illegal campsites?
Yeah, so there is a ton, like probably a metric ton of case law on illegal camping. And the short answer is you can't criminalize someone for who they are. And what the courts have said is if someone is homeless, it's unrealistic, and they live in your community, it's unrealistic for that community to say, you can't be here. Like, you person can't be here. I would say on the signs, though, the one thing that I agree, you know, legally, you know, it helps us, but really practically speaking, the benefit of having a sign up is that if the area is posted, you can go up to them and say, this area is posted, no camping, you have to be on in an hour. And that's the difference. If it's not posted, you have to give them either 3 days, or it's going to maybe be 24 hours if this passes, or up to 10 days. So that's the difference, is the signs, you can tell them to get lost in an hour. Yeah.
So it's kind of, we can do it for loitering, but we can't do it for camping or for, well, we can prosecute, well, actually, I think we're in the works of having some kind of rule, no loitering. I don't know if we're going to go ticket-wise or whatever, but that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, we just haven't done it in the past. I could certainly look into it, looking into the legality of it. We have two levers, really. We can generally fine somebody or put them in jail. And with illegal camping, I don't know how effective either of those are necessarily, but I can look into.
You're correct.
Yeah. No. I mean, it's a great question. Frankly, should know the answer. So we'll look into it.
Ms. Sprinkle,
I don't like what I'm going to say. I'm going to ask this question though. Is there some way that we can get designated space for them to go camping that's not going to get them in trouble? Is there a place in city that would, you know, like an old snow dump or something crazy? Go ahead.
Yeah, if you guys don't mind me taking that one. I would strongly recommend that we don't do that. I know that there's this image of like, oh, they're just sleeping. Encampments are exceptionally violent. The amount of sexual assault, severe, you know, beatings, just some of the worst stuff that you can that we have in this community happen in encampments. I would never recommend that you post a place where that could go on.
I take the question away then. Thank you.
I think it's a good question to explore. I mean, you're just looking for options, right? Any other comments, questions? If there's any amendments to this that you'd like to offer, I'm happy to work with you on this, or work with Mr. Chard. If you could provide those amendments prior to the meeting, then we can include those in the packet. Thank you. Item 4 is the council strategic planning. Included in your packet is the council compass, as well as a generated review of our session together a few weeks ago. I presented this handed this back to the council a few weeks ago, and just wanted to get your feedback. Is this in the right direction? What do you think about it? Anything that's missing or that you want to improve? Sprinkle.
We talked, well, we did see a word cloud.
We did.
I think I'd love to see that. And
We didn't save it. Bummer.
And the there was discussion about a Venn diagram. Mm-hmm. I don't know where you could, again, coming from a visual point of view, I'd just be curious to see what running through, and whether it's AI or not, I don't know, but I just think it'd be very curious as someone who's, because I know you put time in this to build this. I just wonder what an AI would see in the consistencies of the.
This is AI generated.
Oh, okay.
Also, if you know, if there's agreement from the council that this is a good framework to start with, then we can work on some visualizations. But we haven't, a group agreed to this yet. So before we get too far, just wanted to ensure that this was a direction the council was in agreement with. Ms. Tidwell.
I think this is a good recap of what we did, and I had kind of envisioned, and I think I even said that I would make like little cards, which whether I do it or somebody else does it, I think it would be great to have this in like a visual glance at, like one of the diagrams was that circle that overlapped. I don't know what they're called, or like the little word, something like just something we could prop up here to be like, oh yeah, that's our stuff. Like that's mm-hmm. what I had envisioned.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be happy to help or try to do that.
I'd love to put your artistic talents
and
to
have
work.
Sue sign off on it, of course, for design.
Oh yeah, yeah, yes.
Was that the sticky colors? What does that mean?
Those were the marker colors. Okay. So that's just how the program identified it when it went through.
Okay.
Like I literally took the pictures that we took.
Oh, and you fed it through?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's pretty amazing.
That
so
scares
like,
me.
There's no editorial content from
okay.
me in here.
Okay. Well, that's very. That, thank you for sharing that because
yeah.
I didn't realize where this.
No.
Wow. That gives me shivers a little bit.
Mr. Cleworth, too.
Thank you, Mayor. I've just pretty much focused on looking at the four priorities, and I agree with everything here. I would just add under a safe and responsible community, one of the big important services we provide is simply refuse collection. And with the policies that we have, you can put out as many bags as you want. It's encouraging people not to get to a blighted property where this gentleman deals with you. So we might put that on their safe streets. Fixing potholes is important. You get sued. I know we've been sued several times from people that hit them thinking that they can get money out of the city. Anyway. Public works, I think, needs to be in that. That's all I'm saying, just under that one. Other than that, I like the emphasis.
Mr. Cleworth, do you think that is represented in the first bullet, a city that works, safe, clean, well-maintained neighborhoods, reliable infrastructure, core services, and efficient, accountable city operations?
To a degree, yeah. When I think of infrastructure, I'm thinking of what's under the streets, cyber optics, steam heat, electric utilities, all that sort of thing, water. But you're right. It would be a part of infrastructure. If we let our streets, essentially fall apart, I think we create a safety problem. That's all I'm saying. So.
Uh-huh. That's funny. I think of infrastructure as bicycle lanes.
A sidewalk, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did we get it right? Do we need to go back to the drawing board? I guess that's kind of where I'm looking for direction from
yeah.
the council.
Well, I think
and
it's
agreement that this is. Something to incorporate
is this the first
in our
time
decision?
We've seen it in this format, though?
Rather than what other format?
We saw some, like a single sheet, did we not? Like way in the Wayback Machine, like a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, Yeah, I gave you this before.
The whole thing?
No, but you asked for the whole thing last time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. I'm just saying, I think we should digest this, maybe come back to you on Monday, talk about it.
Sure, this is the same thing that you've had for 2 weeks, is what I'm saying.
Okay, I feel like I...
I actually sent this out after our work session 2 weeks ago, so you have had a couple weeks. But
I failed my homework. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Okay.
So I guess my next ask for the council then is if this is something that, you know, we have a good baseline, we feel, you know, as comfortable as we can with it, can we use this to have a second strategic session where we apply this to our budget prior to having a budget season, our budget session? So I'm thinking this is like August timeframe where, you know, we do another Saturday event, but we have, now that we have this framework, we can apply it to decision-making as far as our budget is concerned. True. And I'm not exactly sure what that looks like, but I will do the work or happy to work with somebody third party if the council is more comfortable with that. Yeah. That's something we can try.
I'm intrigued.
Okay.
Ms. Steiner, as a follow-up, would you send out some dates? I'll work with you on some dates in August, early September, and see that. We don't have to be in there. Mr. Ringstad, did you have some comments? Okay. Mr. Martin?
Or are we going away, or your intent is to go away from what we did last year as far as?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because I thought it was pretty smooth last year.
I do too.
I mean, we.
No, I think we definitely want to retain the target-based budgeting. was that your second year or the first year that we did it?
Yeah.
This year will be the second year. Yeah. No, we definitely want to stay on that track.
Okay.
And, you know, finesse that and get more comfortable with that. But this is more like a framework of how we think about, you know, critical decisions and financial decisions for the city. Great. Well, I really appreciate that feedback and that willingness to do something a little bit out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
So appreciate that. Okay, next up is the Finance Committee report, and we'll pass it to Ms. Bell. Oh,
thank you, Mayor, and good morning, Council members. The Finance Committee met on April the 23rd. We discussed the March 31st financial reports with the balance sheet at $10.7 million, which is very close to our minimum balance. We had a cash flow report of $23.7 million, and we had revenues of $12.2 million with expenditures at $14 million. Since it was a quarterly review, we looked very detailed. We reviewed the very detailed financial reports. We did discuss overtime and payroll cost in three areas, police, fire, and public works. So we had a discussion about that. So you will see in the budget amendment some additional amounts in probably two of those areas, public works and the fire department. A copy of the year-to-date report is attached to this narrative so that you can see where we are overall revenue, expenditures, and other resources. The committee also discussed parking services. We had present Ms. Rice from Fairbanks Parking Authority as well as Mr. Jacobson from their board. And we will continue that discussion at the next meeting. Our next meeting is scheduled for Thursday, May the 28th at 7 a.m. in the Meeks Conference Room. That's all I have.
Any questions or comments? Mr. Marnie.
What I don't like to read is exceed target. And so I don't think we've seen an overtime report. Do we see something like that?
Yes, I can provide you with the detailed reports for payroll for all departments.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, Mayor. I said at this meeting, the finance meeting, and I'm going to say it right now, that working with this group in the way that we have has been really, really helpful because it allows us to exercise some thought, you know, the what ifs, you know, change is hard for some, but I just think this is a really great opportunity, and I thank Margarita for allowing us to break finance meetings away and become their own because it allows us to stretch some really big muscles, and this parking thought process has been part of that for me, and I so appreciate people allowing us to have those kind of conversations, so thank you.
Okay, moving on to mayor and council member comments. We'll start with Mr. Kleeworth.
I'm going to pass today.
Ms. Sprinkle.
My streets got swept yesterday. I'm very, very excited by that, so thank you, Jeremiah, and your team. They look fabulous, and I think that the slow melt has been really exceptional for our city. I hope that's true, but it seems like we're not going to have to panic this year, so thank you.
We've been in constant panic mode since December. Mr. Ringstead.
A couple of things on the legislative front. Our baby box bill appears to be queued up, ready to go. We've been assured it will go. It's sitting in the waiting just to be put on the floor. So that's good. Our charging fees bill for our redacting and camera work. We have had less than enthusiastic support from our legislators to push that bill, and I don't think there's a snowball's chance that one's going to pass at this point. Disappointing, but they just are letting it lay there. Budget-wise, I don't know if you saw a note from Yuri, where the money we get municipal, kind of our municipal assistance pot, they have put additional money into that. So the projection is, I think this year we got something like $85,000, and at current numbers we might get up to $400,000 to $500,000. So that number has come up. I don't know what we're down to now. End date's the 20th, so 2 weeks. Today's today, 4th. So we get 5th. Yeah, so we get 2 weeks, just over 2 weeks. So they're dealing with someone. They did tried to do a veto override yesterday. They didn't do that. They still have confirmations trying to do for the governor's appointments. The budgets are moving. So very little outside individual capital money. But that's what we expected, so.
Community money, is that outside the cap, in the cap, capital? What do we do with that?
It's a part of the capital fund, general fund, I'm sorry, budget. We use it as a part of all of our operating costs.
So is it under the cap?
No, it's not within the cap.
Okay. Okay, yes. Thank you.
Mr. Marney.
Well, first of all, John, there was an article in today's paper about how HUD is refocusing on how they, you know, allocate money. So I know you and Ms. Winters went there last week. Maybe if you could kind of tell us either Monday night so you have some preparation, but how that will affect Fairbanks.
Okay, I'll work on it. I don't know specifically. I know they're working on it. We had I was my neighborhood housing services hat on. We went back to D.C. to their annual meeting for NeighborWorks, which it's an interesting group. First time I've done it. There's about 350 people there from across the country talking about housing issues, how they what some of them are doing, trying to address specific needs that aren't significantly different than ours. And there is some work on housing, on HUD stuff. So I'll take a look and see if I can get some comments for Monday.
And on the second note, there was an article in the paper a week, 10 days ago. North Pole City Council is addressing their stipend budget. And I was kind of flabbergasted that they were paying $175 for their council people to go to the borough meetings. They're going to lower that to $100. I thought that comical because when I stood in for you last meeting, nobody from the North Pole or the school district was there. I was a one-man band there. So I thought it was... Yeah, that was in the paper. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I guess we're shorting ourselves.
We do it for love. Wow. Okay. And can I throw this one thing at? I'm going to take his spot. Okay, thank you.
Ms. Tidwell?
Maybe just a comment on the housing, and I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but I know I remember hearing like a ton of grant money that came to some of those organizations to help revitalize some of the housing in our area. And I would love to invite them maybe to do a presentation so that we could see. I mean, it was millions of dollars that was going to be distributed for, to incentivize affordable housing. And I would love to see a presentation from them to maybe hear where that money has gone and how it's affected our downtown area and housing in general, if they were open to doing that with us.
Mr. Ringstead?
We're on the same track again. Nadine and I talked about that last week when we were gone, and she said she was willing to come and do a presentation for us and talk about it. So we'll try and get that scheduled up.
And then I had left this on my dais. Maybe just a reminder, at our meeting, we did get the notification for the Gathering of Remembrance, which is taking place today from 12 to 1:30 at Golden Heart Plaza, remembering all the victims of unsolved homicides and those lost to us. That's put on by our partners, the Native Association, TCC, and I have a conflicting schedule today. I won't be able to make it, but I hope that some of other council will be there.
Thank you, Ms. Tidwell. Council, thanks for your leniency this morning. I was welcoming the international firefighters to Fairbanks, so it was nice to greet them this morning and welcome them to our fair city. So thanks for that leniency, and thank you to Mr. Cleworth for running the meeting in my stead. Wanted to just touch on a few of the bills that were in the legislature. The fees bill, we need to have a better title for that, John. the fees to charge for somebody requesting a video or whatever. The snag has been with journalists who are afraid that this is a slippery slope into freedom of information, and so there's some ideas there about maybe there could be a tiered system, maybe they get some sort of like in-state license or something that shows that they're in the state rather than outside the state, but it comes up with a constitutionality question with them. They've been pretty vocal with the sponsors. There's also a push from a recent trooper incident that they're really trying to bake in something into this bill that doesn't really quite address what we're trying to do, but changes it a little bit. And because of that, things have just gotten a little bit muddled. So I think John's right. That's probably not going anywhere, but Yuri's still looking for another vehicle to do the piece that we need. Yeah.
I asked a couple times if it's not technically able to put a watermark into our videos, because that makes it maybe not so great for them to put on television.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, because, and I have looked into it, you can't do that. I mean, you could, but if the requester asked for it to be removed, we would have to remove it. And
based on what?
Because it's not our record, it's the public's record, and we can't do anything to store or or in any way mar that public record. Hmm.
It takes manpower to make that available to these people to make money on. I think that's the rub, isn't it?
I think that's where we've gotten the most traction with HB 377 is people widely acknowledge that public funds, property taxpayers, are subsidizing commercial operations, the YouTuber in Florida that's scraping all of our video content to make a buck. And there's a fundamental unfairness there. We tried to solve it with a scalpel and go in with a very precise solution to that problem, and it just Christmas tree sense, and that's where the bill got snagged.
Does that mean maybe this should go to a federal level? If this guy's in a different state, we, you know, cross state lines and stuff?
Well, and I think the mayor's comments about there was some discussion about creating this registry or a tiered system to identify who's, you know, why you're asking for the record, who you are, you know, so we could prioritize. I mean, the real tragedy of it is I listened to all these committee hearings, and the one where the father and the family member wants the records for, you know, for what happened to his kids in his home. I mean, unfortunately, that gets put in line after. It's a first-come, first-served basis. So Florida guy that's on YouTube that wants his five free hours is standing in line before the family member that is looking for some resolution to their issue. And it's fundamentally unfair. That's why we brought this forward. Hopefully, there'll be a solution to move us forward.
Yeah, Mr. Barney?
Just real quick, those that weren't able to attend Mr. Pristash's retirement party Wednesday, you know me and the cards. Anyway, let's...
How was it, by the way?
Good turnout. Yeah.
The beer flowed?
Oh, yeah. Whiskey.
Margarita
made a
speech.
Margarita? Nice. Oh.
Okay, and I'll just continue with my comments. Another update from the legislature is the defined benefits plan. It was passed by both the House and the Senate. It's on the governor's desk. The way that bill came out is there's an opt-out provision now, so all the municipalities are assumed in the program unless they opt out. And there's an increase if the municipalities do stay in of 0.5%. So that's what's on the governor's desk at this point. It's anybody's guess what will happen at that time. Here in the city, we're happy to say that the HEART team contract was signed last week. So that's the outreach team that we put out to RFP and fix. Won that contract and intends to begin that program very shortly within the next couple weeks. So we're excited to see that is getting up and running and getting some legs, and we'll be out there very soon. So with that, the next regular work session is Tuesday, May 18th at 8 a.m. We'll see you next week on Monday for our next council meeting, and we're adjourned at 9:09.